A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We spoke to a man who had bought a lordship for Patrick Bamford, the lead striker. Mm-hmm.
He'll tell quite us controversial, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And but you joined in, as we'll discover. Ben Littleton, the author of 12 Yards, the excellent book on penalties, look back on the penalty shootout, all the talking points from the Manchester United Villarreal penalty shootout last night. We had a bit of a chat about various things. We had a children's story. We marked a sad passing of a great children's author with a children's story from a Nottingham Forest player.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a birthday spread,
there was,
wasn't
yeah.
there? What,
yeah.
It was an exciting game, we can tell you. It was
to and fro,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Yeah, good afternoon. Anonymous. I got an anonymous.
You got an anonymous? What, are you five?
It's a link to the sty, you
Dad,
see. That's what...
Dad, anonymous. What are you...
We were
having Rusk and
interestingly, before the show, Paul and I were both at the urinals wondering if this would be the greatest or the worst show we'd ever done or somewhere in between.
Yeah.
I've not started brilliantly. But, you know, Andy quite often starts slowly and grows into the role. So
he
that's
does.
What I'm planning
I
to
mean,
do
I've
today.
Known it to start slowly and get worse.
Anyway, I had an anonymous. I can't do it.
You had an anonymous.
Anonymous message.
You're struggling, aren't you? You had a what? You had a...
Why can't I say it?
You got a message from someone you don't know.
No. I got a message from someone I do know, but he would like to remain anonymous.
Okay.
Finally.
That's good. Okay.
We got there. It really isn't worth it. He says, I have genuinely put a fictitious appointment in my diary. As I've forgotten my earpods, I can't listen to the show. I'll be leaving early so I can hear the birthday spread.
Wow.
So there we are. That is real commitment to the spread.
Jack's been in touch already.
Hi, Jack.
Max, you're often accused of going one up or down from Paul, but he does that to you all the time.
Absolutely right.
I'm rooting for you today, Max. Well, obviously, if you make a good guess on a birthday, I'm not going to stupidly do 20 or 30 years either side.
No.
You know, because you've made a good... You're good at this game.
That's very kind of you to say so.
Yeah.
But you're obviously a better player.
Well,
you know?
At the moment, it's 18-2. I'm having a good run.
There's a lot to play for,
yeah.
isn't there?
But you can come back.
I was listening. How do you feel about Poch then? How do you feel, Paul? I know we're doing it in 20 minutes.
I thought there was nothing in it to the point where, you know, we talked about it earlier today and we talked about it yesterday. I said, well, there's nothing in this. It's nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. But too many reliable sources are now suddenly saying conversations are being had or are being broached. So I suppose we should have a conversation about it as well. I don't know. It depends what the motivation is. It's a lovely idea. I just wonder what's changed. From his point of view, what's changed? Mm-hmm. I think his relationship with the chairman, although they were very close at one point, must have broken down by the end. One of the players told one of his former international teammates, I was told by them, that Poch had effectively checked out towards the end. He was so frustrated with what had happened and he couldn't get himself going again, couldn't get into that same mindset that he had before. So all you can think is that the chairman's had an epiphany, good luck with that, and everything's going to be different this time. When he wants to turn a player around and sell and buy quality, he'll be given the opportunity to do that. My only slight fear is that from the board's point of view, this is a win-win, because it means rather than someone coming in, shaking up the squad and maybe making some painful decisions about losing money on players they want to sell and spending big money on new ones, they'd expect him to suddenly put a sort of paternal arm drama around Eric Dyer and Eric Lamella and Harry Winks and all those players that maybe have gone off the boil recently and say, well, we don't need this. This is a cheap option in some ways because this guy will come in as he did before and get a tune out of these players. And that's not necessarily what it needs. It needs, it just, they've got to get out that comfort zone. Some of these players have got to be moved on. I'm not saying those ones I mentioned, but there are players in the squad that have got to be moved on and new players brought in. You need to freshen the squad up, and that's my concern.
He could have a great relationship with Neymar and Mbappe and then say to Harry Kane, look, this is my plan, you know, I'll send Dele Alli to Paris and I'll bring in Verratti as well. Why not?
He's just being silly.
I'm sceptical because if you look at, you know, obviously they all think the bookmakers know something, but if you look at the number of managers who have been a hot favourite, like an odds-on, starting with like Inzaghi was hot, odds on, and you were like, well, he's got the job. Then Eric Ten Hag was odds on to get it, and now Pochettino has come right in. I think we're all guessing. I think it seems like Tottenham might be talking to a lot of people, which is not Martinez as well, which is not a stupid idea. You should talk to lots of people. I'd be very surprised if it happened. But of all the names mentioned, I think I'd prefer Ranić, but I think Pochettino would be better than a lot of the names mentioned.
I'm not against him coming back, but I'd love him to come back. But in the right circumstances, with the, you know, the right guarantees that things are going to be when it matters, because why would he come back on after what he saw before? He would be slightly fearful of history repeating itself, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
We have to take the chairman at his words in his programme notes the other day that maybe the eye was taken off the ball and they lost sight of certain things. Maybe this is all part of this, but that's what it needs. It does need a freshen up. And so do you call an ex-manager in to freshen something up? I don't know.
Did you think that penalty shootout might go on forever last night?
I did. I mean, I thought from a goalkeeping point of view that there were some eminently savable ones there, didn't you? I mean, the longer it went on, I mean, there were some very, very good pens, but there's some fairly ropey goalkeeping on both sides.
I find it amazing how nervous I get when I don't have a dog in the fight, just feeling terrified, especially for those players that haven't nominated. If you think I'll go ninth, you think, I'm all right here. Yeah. It's never gonna go to the ninth penalty.
But towards the end, some of those pens for Villarreal and United were really good penalties, weren't they?
Some people criticising De Gea for his penalty, saying it wasn't a great penalty. Mm. To be fair, he's not expecting to do that. I do think, and we'll talk about it later, won't we? You know, Dean Henderson's penalty record is brilliant. Yeah. He's saved almost half the penalties. Yeah, yeah. And De Gea's is sort of surprisingly bad. Do you think just by standing
there?
Well,
I think just as they got towards the end of extra time, people started to tweet the penalty records of Henderson and De Gea, and suddenly Tim Krul was trending. Mm-hmm. And there was people, look, that would have been an incredibly bold call, wouldn't it? If it doesn't work, and you lose, you say, well, why'd you stick another goalkeeper in just for penalties? If it does work, he's a genius, isn't he? He's put the penalty specialist in there.
It's a tough call, but I think he could argue the case after the game. And you've got to make the decision in the moment. Carl in Whitney says, I'm listening very carefully to try and pinpoint the exact moment that Paul's character changes and he goes into birthday spread mode. I've been listening for years. I don't recognise the birthday spread, Paul. He's scary. There you are. It's true, isn't it? We've unearthed.
Is that the
monster.
Real me, or is that, I think that the, is the slightly you. More competitive yeah, me? Like, I don't know.
Most of the time before the show, Paul's a very reasonable, mild-mannered man, but you just see at that moment, especially if you start losing the spread, you just turn.
Do you think you I get a bit that, narky?
You've got that killer instinct.
Do you think that's what sets the greats apart,
well,
isn't
absolutely.
It?
That's
he
why,
said modestly.
That's why you're an elite broadcaster. That's why you've been doing it for so long at this level. You're like Arturo Vidal. Aren't you? Title winner year after year after year.
Yeah, probably not, actually. Robert's been in touch. He said one of the greatest moments for me was winning the school swimming gala freestyle 2 lengths race. Just imagine if I'd listened to those people who said, please, never go back. That's very true. You would have come last. I'd be at the wrong end of the pool and one of life's failures made for Poch, he says. So look, he's being slightly facetious, but if you went back and it worked or it didn't work, let us know.
James saying Paul's starting the mind games very early. What are you, 5? I fear a Max Rushton battering today. Maybe I am 5.
Yeah.
Maybe he's right.
You should have gone, I'm going 6. I'm going 6. Oh, he started already. One either side of me.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Patrick Bamford has revealed he is a lord of the manor.
Yeah.
This is not a title he's bestowed on himself. It's, I mean, although, as Max always tells us, he's got grade 7 violin, it doesn't mean he is automatically a lord of the manor. This title needs to be bought.
I'm reading a lot about Patrick Bamford, about his entire life story now, because I thought he was the son of Lord Bamford, the JCB man, but apparently that is apocryphal. I've thought that for years.
So he'd be a double lord.
Yeah. You can't be a double lord.
He's Lord of Hougan Manor in Cumbria, and it was bought for him by James Bushnell Sr. And James Bushnell Jr. Good afternoon, James Jr.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Excellent, thank you.
So what made you and your dad randomly think it would be a good idea to bestow a lordship on Patrick Bamford?
Well, he has that stereotype, really, of being a lord behind it with, as you said, with, like, the violin and with everything like that. Mm. And I was scrolling through YouTube and an advert popped up about how you can make yourself a lord.
Right.
And this was before a football game. Mm. I can't remember which game it was, but Patrick Bamford played absolutely brilliant in the game. Mm. So after it, I was just like, it would be a great idea if we made Patrick Bamford a lord, and my dad sorted it out, and it's just snowballed from there, really. Yeah.
I don't want to get down to the grim details. How much does it cost to make Patrick Bamford a lord?
I cannot remember off the top of my head. I can't remember.
Not a lot of money, because, I mean, it would be funny if it was maybe 50 quid, 100 quid. If it was about 10 grand, that would focus the mind a bit, really, wouldn't it? I mean, it was an affordable amount, but enough to get a bit of national exposure and please your star striker, and but not break the bank.
Yeah, I think it only like cost £20 or £30.
Oh, okay.
Definitely didn't break the bank at all.
Yeah. They're giving them away now. And was it specifically Bamford? No one had, like, Stuart Dallas didn't have a great game. You thought maybe we'll make him Lord Stuart, you know, Lord Dallas. This was very Bamford focused.
Because of what he is, you know. We see him playing in a monocle quite often. Mm. If you look closely on Match of the Day.
Yeah, top hat. Well.
Yeah, so he's pleased, isn't he, Patrick? He likes it.
Yeah, he really loved the idea that we made him a lord. And how you were saying with Stuart Dallas, with having a great game. For me, he's my player of the season. Mm. And Patrick Bamford, with 17 goals and 7 assists in his first Premier League season, is absolutely brilliant. I know he's played in the Premier League before, but hasn't played a full season like he has with Leeds. But he's absolutely brilliant. I'm surprised he hasn't been called up for England.
Well, he could rock up at St George's now, get to the gates, and if they don't let him in because he's not in the squad, he can say, "Do you know who I am? I'm the Lord of Hougan Manor, don't you know?" And the guy on the gate will have to let him in.
Definitely do that. Definitely.
Yeah, give that a try.
Definitely say that.
I think he's a wonderful player. I agree with you. I think he's the most similar to Kane if Kane got an injury. I think his movement is great. I think he brings people into play. He never stops running. I mean, it must be a wonderful time to be a Leeds fan, because I've been told off because I keep using the adjective fun, but they really are. Like, when they're on, you think, oh, good, I want to watch Leeds. It must be a joy to watch.
Yeah, it is an absolute joy to watch. Ever since when we were in the Championship, it's just been amazing. And I try to watch different games of football because I do love football.
Mm.
But it's just every other game's just boring because Leeds play so differently, and I just feel spoiled with how we were playing. That every time I try watch a different game, like yesterday, trying to watch the Europa League final, I just couldn't watch it because it was just
you've chosen a fairly bad example. You can get less like the average Leeds game, but maybe there was a bit more at stake. But it's good it's worked. So no other plans to buy sort of titles for any other Leeds players at the moment? We're going to stick with Patrick. Has he been in touch? Has he thanked you personally yet, you and your dad?
Well, we went on the Leeds United official podcast, and we talked to him there. And
good.
He said thank you on that. And we, on the last game of the season against West Brom, we got the stadium announcer to if he scored or if he was coming onto the pitch to say Lord Patrick Bamford, like number nine, Lord Patrick Bamford. And he did it like all the way through.
Oh,
and
nice
it was
one.
Bloody brilliant. It was brilliant. Yeah,
they're calling him your lordship.
What does Patrick get apart from the title? You know, can he
strip of land?
Can he march sheep through Cumbria?
Yeah.
Sort of unimpeded.
How much land? Apparently these are quite leads, just been on Groupon. He's a Newcastle fan. He said, I've just got myself a lordship for a Scottish castle on Groupon for £13.
Wow, of course.
So
could have got more, but is there anything else Patrick can do with this title?
I'm not too sure. I think it's just sort of you've technically become a lord with the small piece of land you have in Cumbria. But he's an amazing player, and it's well deserved that he
becomes a lord. He's become a lord, of course.
What he's done.
James, good to talk to you. Say hello to your dad and have a nice idea. And
do you know his dad?
Well.
Do you know his dad?
Well, his dad's called James Bushnell Senior. He was the one. I don't know his dad. I'm saying say hello because his dad
could say goodbye to every guest. His dad.
Well, his dad could have come on the day and had either of them. They, you know. Anyway, don't say hello from Max. He doesn't care. Say hello from me. There we are. There's James Bushnell Junior. There, Leeds United fan, the man who bestowed a lordship. Him and his dad. The whole point.
I'm on the Lordship title pack. Here we go. Do you want the standard? Going to get you one of these, Paul.
Okay, yeah.
Do you want the standard or the premium?
I don't know. I'm just...
£24.95. The premium is eight quid.
I mean, I imagine it's quite useful if you're trying to book a table in some fancy restaurant, isn't it? And you say, Lord Hoogan. Yeah, I'll go with that then. Yeah, you can. When can you get here?
Just filling in the optional gift message. Good afternoon, Lord Hawksby.
Well, it looks like I'm just about to become a lord.
Add to basket. Here we go.
Then change. You're going to have to change all the paperwork here.
It doesn't tell you what you're the lord of on this one. This is just, you just get a title pack. How do I know what you're the lord? I'm not going to buy it for you unless I don't know where.
Sounds a bit moody, that. Go through to a bona fide buy a lordship page.
I don't want to
opposed to the hooky ones. Fantastic. They might be clearing your bank account out, Max. Have a closer look. Don't do anything on a whim like that. So, still to come. We will be... Grade seven
violin.
Yeah. You've something we might explore over the next 2 hours is that you are grade 8 clarinet.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I played the EastEnders theme with Dion Dublin in the Soccer Home Glory years. He played the Jube.
Yeah.
Then I played at the Hammersmith Apollo with Amy McDonald. Played on her single, did the video.
Wow.
Got a record deal out of it. Yeah.
Did tell you
all
really?
Of these things. Yeah.
It puts my lordship in perspective.
Oh, Lord really, Hawksby. Oh, yeah. You doth protest, Lord Hawksby.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Just a bit of breaking news, Paul. Mm. Adam Dickinson has been in touch on the text. Max, I am the Lord of Hogan Manor. I've just sent evidence to your Instagram, and he has just sent me this message saying, Max, I just heard Patrick Bamford is the Lord of Hogan Manor. Please see that I am the Lord of the estate. Could someone rectify? And he sent me a photo saying Lord Adam Dickinson of Hogan Manor. Matthew Irwin has been in touch to say, it looks like me and Patrick Bamford share some of the same land. And he is Lord Matthew Irwin. This certificate asserts the legal right to assume the honorific title Lord Matthew Irwin of Hogan Manor. Furthermore, Lord Matthew Irwin shall be assigned dedicated land within the Hogan Manor estate, Cumbria, England. So you've got Matthew, Adam and Patrick all vying to be the Lord of the Manor.
There's only one way to decide who is the proper Lord of Hogan Manor, and that's jousting, isn't it? But it's unlikely.
Absolutely
it's
right.
It's unlikely that... I'm guessing that Patrick Bamford is the fittest of the three with respect to Adam, and was it Matthew?
Maybe Patrick doesn't get a horse.
Yeah.
So the other two are... But it's hard with three, isn't it?
I don't know what the Leeds press office is going to say about that. If we just say, can Patrick come down to Hogan Manor? You'll know where it is. He's the Lord of it. And joust.
If he could.
Yeah, that would be nice. Well,
he could bring his own... He's probably got his own pugil stick.
Imagine he's got his own horse. He'll have his own suit of arms.
Exactly.
If
he's really feeling confident, he'll play the violin as he rides.
We've been good for business today because Mark from Ockenden, which doesn't have that many lords, he's just been on Groupon. He said, me and my wife are now lord and lady of a piece of land at Dunham Castle, £22.99 the pair. I mean, really, who knew that you could just enter the kind of aristocracy this cheap?
In many ways, it's, you know, we talk a lot. There was a lot of politics yesterday talking about, you know, basically social mobility and there isn't enough of it.
Yeah.
And this is proof.
This is a bloke from Ockenden who's a
exactly.
lord.
Exactly. It does say, I was looking at the T's and C's of the Lord Titles website. It does say you can't just rock up to the House of Lords and demand to sit down.
Okay.
It's just, you've just got to be clear on that.
All
so
right.
that's, I mean, that goes for everyone who's been in touch.
Yeah, we don't want anybody being sort of wrestled to the floor by a police officer,
no,
do we?
No.
Outside the Parliament. That's the last thing we need. But anyway,
Keith in Barry's just bought a Lord and Ladyship. So we should have had shares in it. Can we do a TalkSport book about it?
Can we
in the TalkSport shop? You can become Lord
book of a thousand lords.
You can become Lord of the Heads Gons. Yeah. Or, you know, just that you can buy a part of the radio show, the radio station. You know,
okay,
why not?
Well,
head of Clips of the Week.
It's taking a very odd turn, this.
Why not?
Now, it was a nice story today. We might get the listeners involved with this. Was Margaret Angel, 96.
Mm. Yes.
Right. She got an engagement ring after a 73-year wait. As a late hubby said, he'd buy one if Leicester won the FA Cup. It's a lovely story,
isn't
it? Yeah,
really? I've got a bit more on it, actually. They got married in 1948, and money was too tight to justify getting an engagement ring. Mr. Angel said he would stretch to one if the Foxes lifted the trophy. He died in 2005, but his promise was fulfilled by his son, Mike, who bought his mother a ring just days after the 1-0 win over Chelsea. He said the promise had become family legend after Leicester kept losing these cup finals in 49, 61, 63 and 69.
Yeah.
So he just got back from the war when they got married. But in 1969, we were all hoping Mum would get her engagement ring and we lost again.
Neil Young, Manchester City, wasn't it?
You tell me.
Yeah. Before your time.
Absolutely.
Actually, yeah. It's the first cup final I remember, actually, as a kid. The 69. First one I remember, watching that game.
86 was my 86, first I can remember.
That make me feel old now.
Well, it makes you better at the birthday spread, so, you know.
Yeah,
swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, I'll probably die before you.
You probably.
But I'll probably be 25.
I mean, I hope you do.
Yeah.
But not that soon.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, mate. We'll just clip that. I'll die before you. I hope you do. Classic Bantz then. Nice, isn't it? Not at all dark. So anyway, that is a lovely story, isn't it?
It is.
But
nice.
It struck us. Have you ever kind of put something off and said, well, we won't definitely do that until, you know, Spurs win the league? Well, you would never do that, would you? You know, no point.
Well, people may have said it, you know. We'll do this when.
Yes.
That's you know, we'll do X when Y.
We need X and Y. If you feel like you want to do that, then talksport.com/H&J, text the 81089 or tweet to TSH&J and tell us this afternoon.
Yeah. Now, Eric Carr was the author of The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Oh, yeah.
And he's died at the age of 91, his family said. And, everybody listening almost certainly will have been...
I read it to my kids.
Yeah, and had it read to them.
Yeah.
And it did get me thinking that when the lockdown first happened, I was doing the breakfast show, and there were lots of footballers who were stuck in their house. We were getting lots of footballers on the radio. Like, it's sometimes quite hard to get footballers to come on.
Yeah.
But they couldn't give us an excuse because we knew they're all at home,
that's
weren't
true.
They?
Yeah.
And Joe Worrell came on, the Nottingham Forest centre-back, and we had a great chat. We're like, what are you up to? You know, how are you keeping fit? And all those questions that we all ask lots of footballers during lockdown. And he said, I'm reading a lot to my kids. And he was saying, I'm reading The Hungry Caterpillar. So I said, look, well, would you come on later in the show? Could we end the show by you reading The Hungry Caterpillar? Presuming he'd say no. But he said, yeah, so we can pay tribute now.
That's nice.
To Eric Carle, the author of The Very Hungry Caterpillar. As it is read to you, this is something we did in the first lockdown, so about 18 months ago, Nottingham Forest's Joe Worrell reads The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
In the light of the moon, a little egg lay on a leaf. One Sunday morning, the warm sun came up, and pop, out of the egg came a tiny hungry caterpillar. He started looking for some food. On Monday, he ate through one apple, but he was still very hungry. On Tuesday, he ate through two pears, but he was still very hungry. On Wednesday, he ate through three plums, but he was still very hungry. On Thursday, he ate through four strawberries, but he was still very hungry. On Friday, he had five oranges, but he was still very hungry. On Saturday, he ate through one piece of chocolate cake, one ice cream cone, one pickle, one slice of Swiss cheese, one slice of salami, one lollipop, one piece of cherry pie, one sausage, one cupcake, and one slice of watermelon. That night, he had a stomachache. The next day was Sunday again. The caterpillar ate through one nice leaf, and after that he felt much better. Now he wasn't hungry anymore, and he wasn't a little caterpillar anymore. He was a big fat caterpillar. He built a small house called a cocoon around himself and stayed inside for more than 2 weeks. Then he nibbled a little hole in the cocoon, pushed his way out, and pop, he became a beautiful butterfly. The end.
Oh, tremendous. There yeah, we are.
I tell you what, it's harder than it looks. Though.
Yeah, yeah. It was lovely just to see it transported to the East Midlands like that.
Pop. Yeah. I like it when it says pop.
It was
no, it's such a good sporting Joe to do that. I'll tweet that out again. It's nice. It was a really
it's
nice
lovely.
Thing.
There, so if you want to have a night off of reading stories, you can just flick through the pictures and let Joe read it for you. For the kids, if you've lost your voice.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ben White, Sky have just tweeted out an interview with Ben White, obviously, in the England squad.
Yeah.
And he says, I was crying, my mum was crying, my dad... He said he cried for an hour after finding out. I cry at an emotional pitch on Dragon's Den, you know, I was emotionally weak. If I've got a hangover, all you need to do is show me a picture of a hedgehog having its, you know, hair brushed with a toothbrush and I'm gone. Right. But an hour is quite a long time,
quite a
isn't
lot
it,
of
to
weeping.
Keep it going.
That's right. Yeah. I'm surprised. Getting the Italian team for an hour's worth of crying. Fantastic.
It's good to hear that.
It's
care,
good to hear,
isn't it?
You know, exactly. He clearly does care, doesn't he? So, which is good. And, you know,
can't leave him out now because that's 2 hours,
that's
isn't
put
it?
A lot of emotional pressure. Yeah. On the Gareth Southgate, isn't it? You know, but I mean, the likelihood is he won't be going to the Euros, barring injuries and stuff.
But an excellent player.
I mean,
excellent
every tackle player. That went in last night and
extra time some, as well. Yeah.
Foyt's fairly ugly shinner. You know, you're starting to think, oh, don't get injured. You know, Luke Shaw at one point looked like he was in a bit of pain. You think, oh, don't get injured. But, you know, we're going to have to go through this all again at the weekend.
And by the end, people were, you know, Foyt.
McTominay, I'm sure, was the same for the Scotland fans.
He had a good game.
He did have a good game.
Juan Foyt, you know, by the end, with the bandage and the, you know, the sort of tissue out of his neck, it did look like Blackadder, didn't it?
Oh, no, Coity called it. It was like Michael Palin and a Fish Called Wanda when he's got the chips up his nose. It was amazing, wasn't it? Really? He's a player reborn. I mean, that's the other thing. Somebody else will come back, I'm sure. And you put on that white chainmail shirt, though, and you revert to type. He'll be playing hospital passes and scoring own goals and making loads of ricks. As soon as that shirt, that cockerel, the cursed cockerel goes on, it will be business as usual. Anyway, I can say that because they're my mum. You know what I mean.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on TalkSport. And you probably gathered by now there was quite a long penalty shootout in the Europa League.
I was so desperate
final.
To go to bed. I was finding it very entertaining, but I was like, I've got things to do.
I know,
get
you
on with this.
You don't need this. It wasn't the most entertaining extra time. It was one of those that you kind of felt, let's just do it on 90 minutes. You know, we all know what's going on here. But a lot of talking points emerged from that penalty shootout. So who better to talk to than the author of the definitive work, the man we always turn to when this penalty chat, 12 yards, Ben Littleton joins us. Good afternoon, Ben.
Hello, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't quite know where to start. Maybe we should start with the fact that Tim Krul was trending 5 minutes before the end of the game. I mean, it probably didn't surprise us that he put Henderson in goal, had a better penalty-saving record. I saw you tweeting out around that time, but should he have? Do you think he should have been bold and
It's easy to be wise after the event, isn't it? But I think there are a lot of people talking about this before the event, because going into the game, we knew the numbers, and they clearly said David De Gea hasn't saved a penalty in his last 25 goes. And actually, that number goes up to 29 if you include a shootout for Spain against Russia in the World Cup. So 29 penalties in a row conceded, compared to Henderson's record, which I think was 8 saved out of 19. So a pretty decent record. That's about 42% saving record. So above average saving record. But there is a real conservatism around coaches to do this kind of thing. And I feel like it needs to be normalized. Football is a squad game. And we see outfield players taken out, swapped over all the time. And for penalties. We saw it last night. Mm. It just so happened that all of the players ended up taking penalties. But, yeah. You know, Juan Mata and Alex Telles were clearly brought on specifically to take penalties, and they took fantastic penalties, as did Villarreal's Dani Rabah, who was also kicking second. Mm. So the players that came on to take penalties did a great job. Why not do it with a goalkeeper as well? If you know you have a goalkeeper on the bench who is better in this situation than the player that you have on the pitch. Now, there are other things at play. You know, there might be internal politics, there might be egos at stake, all sorts of things going on that we don't know about. But if it becomes about the coach trying to maximise the opportunity for his team to win, to me, it's not even a difficult decision. And in fact, it happened last week in a match in the African Champions League, which we don't hear much of over here, but a huge game in Africa, and the Tunisian champions, Esperance, subbed their goalkeeper after 120 minutes just for a penalty shootout. The substitute saved 2 penalties and his team went on to the semi-finals.
How with De Gea's record, so 29 and now what, is that 40 penalties, in,
40
a row?
Penalties in a row?
I mean, is that some kind of record? Well, normally a keeper must save what? 1 in 10? I don't know, 1 in 5? What is it?
Yeah, it's between 1 and... I mean, if you're really good, it's... more than 1 in 5, but you know the average penalty conversion is 80%, so that's 4 out of 5. So keepers should stop 1 out of 5. That's about right. 0 out of 40 is I don't know if it's a record, but it's definitely not good.
No, so I feel maybe I would have saved one of them. I don't know.
But the body language. I mean, for an incredibly tall man with long arms and legs, he looked incredibly small in that goal last night. He didn't make himself big. Didn't look like. I mean, which isn't difficult, but it didn't look like he was going to save any of them. The other thing that happened, Ben, that you spotted and I spotted in real time as well, is that Bruno Fernandes won the toss. Villarreal won ends in that toss. He won the toss to go first or second, and he chose to go second by the look of it. He pointed to the Villarreal player, didn't he?
Well, don't get me started on this, Paul. Because, I mean, I find it astonishing, and I really don't want to blame Bruno Fernandes because he is like super skilled, fantastic player for United, great penalty taker, all-round superhero. And it's not his job to know the stats around penalties. But there will be people at the club who work in the analytics department, who work in the coaching department, who will know, who would know, or at least should know, that kicking first gives you an advantage and can improve your chances in a shootout and increase them up to 60%. Now, if no one at the club knew that, I'm horrified. And if someone at the club knew it and chose not to tell the players, and that surely is a dereliction of duty somewhere along the line. So for Bruno to go into that shootout. And the only point of the only part of a shootout that is actually a lottery is the coin toss. The rest of it is all trainable, improvable. We've seen Gareth Southgate say, you know, you can penalties are an improvable skill. They're not a lottery. You can increase your chances if you work hard and train and practice with purpose. All the things that I've been banging on about for years. But you lose that advantage straight away if you win the coin toss and then tell the opposition to go first.
Yeah, it's really got your goat. This is as angry as I was as people blaming Lindelof.
Well,
60% for
sure.
It's mad. Yeah, Sean Ingle tweeted, and you must know Ignacio Palacios Huerta, who is from the London School of Economics, who emailed Sean Ingle saying, look, he's helped people plan for penalties in Champions League finals and World Cup finals, saying that stat as well. I mean, it is extraordinary. Like, everybody knows it. At grassroots level, you win the toss, you go first. It's just so obvious.
Yeah. The other thing, Ben, was the expectation is with goalkeepers taking pens, they just basically take a goal kick into the net. They take a click, didn't they?
Kevin Pressman.
They put their foot through it because that's what goalkeepers do. So you could argue it was a double bluff, a little side foot into the corner, but it was bold, especially after the fact he'd not really saved any pens. Would you have gone down the normal goalkeeper taking penalties route, you think?
I think when you start to criticise De Gea's penalty taking technique,
you're really you are
man
pushing
when he's down.
That's true. That is
40.
True.
So, I mean, Rooney took a really good penalty just before him.
Yeah.
And he said he blasted it because he was so angry that he hadn't saved one in the shootout. And the one thing I do say to players who are really non-frequent penalty takers who aren't used to it is to go for your natural side because that generates more power. So it is much harder to kick to your non-natural side, which is right foot is kicking to their right. And that's what De Gea did. So it feels like the harshest criticism to say, well, maybe he should have kicked to his natural side or blasted it down the middle after what he'd been through the previous 15 minutes. But it was definitely wasn't his night.
Yeah. Mark Crossley, I saw him tweeting earlier on, said, poor effort from both keepers in that shootout. You've got no chance if you don't commit and go full blast. At least five could have easily have been saved. I think David Priest said similar things. You know, a lot of goalkeepers were looking at that and they were good pens in there, but there were some very savable ones as well, you felt, Ben.
I think so. I mean, they all look good when they're scored, right? But, I mean, De Gea got close to at least two or three penalties, two and three from Villarreal. He went the right way and got close to, and really got close to Bruno Fernandes's, which was interesting, and Luke Shaw's. So other goalkeepers might have saved them. You just don't know. I mean, 20 penalties scored in a row is something that I'd never seen before in a shootout. So, there are a lot of good things to come out of it as well. Mm. And the other thing we should point out is that Bruno's decision to kick second meant that there was additional pressure on the United kickers because they're kicking to avoid defeat, which is why the numbers normally go down. But seven of those players stepped up to avoid defeat, and six of them scored. The 10 outfield players who took pens for United did a really good job.
They absolutely did. Are you still doing your penalties blog?
I am. The newsletter is come out today. I've done a special one on last night's game, and it's at 12yards.substack.com.
Fantastic. And the book's still available at 12 Yards. A fine read. Cheers, Ben.
Thanks, always. Ben.
Thank you, guys.
Ben Littleton there, author of 12. It's a really interesting stuff. The book, I mean, can it sustain a book? Of course it can. It's a really, really good read. It's a lot of fun. It's the kind of history of it and the psychology and the science of it. So,
still a ludicrous way to decide a whole trophy.
It is.
I can't think of a better one.
No, that's
so,
right.
There we are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There's been some question marks over whether the Olympics should actually take place. And one leading Japanese newspaper put out a plea. It's got a 5 million circulation.
Also a sponsor of the games.
Yeah, put out a plea saying don't do this. This isn't right. But Dick Pound, former head of the IOC, said only Armageddon can stop the Tokyo Olympics.
It's not far off, is it? I mean,
that's right.
If you think of things that have happened in recent history that you could argue are Armageddon.
Let's play Armageddon or pandemic. Yeah. I mean, so
God, that's a tone-deaf thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not gone down too well, I don't think. No. I mean, we have a man in Japan, nominally a football expert, but he's married to a Japanese woman. And when we last, a couple of times we've spoken to him, and she used to shout in the background, "It's not happening. Tell TalkSport it's not happening." I mean, she felt, you know, they would push it to the last minute because, you know, they wouldn't want to say no. And ultimately, it could be cancelled.
But Tokyo's in a state of emergency at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, that's a problem.
That's right.
The city is in a state of emergency.
You're going to go an old
have a big Olympics old opening there. Ceremony, can you, when that's happening?
It will be a very different Olympics for them. But anyway, we wish them well.
On a slightly different note, Dave from Kent discussing taking honorary lordships. He said, would taking an honorary lordship on Ian Danter make him the Lord of the Dance?
Oh, that would be good. Wouldn't it be great to make him the Lord of the Dance? I think he'd like that.
18, I think, let me just check on how much they are. Ian Danter is $7.99 if you want that lordship.
If you
I've got the whole. You can, if you want to ask, I'll let you know how much you can get them for you.
We told you the lovely story of Margaret Angel earlier on, 96. Got an engagement ring after 73 years because her late husband had said that he would buy her one when Leicester won the FA Cup, and they finally did. And their son came through for them and made that promise come through for his late dad. Lovely story. So we wondered if there's sort of situations where you've put things off or you've, in the name of sport. Neil says, some uni friends and myself made a pact in around 2011 that wherever we were in the world and whenever it happened, we would drop everything we were doing and immediately drink 10 pints the moment Niall Ranger scored his first Premier League goal. We're still waiting.
That's great. Dave in Tunbridge says, in 1995, I wanted to give up smoking. My worst time to smoke was while I was watching my team Manchester United play on TV. I vowed to only light up when they scored a goal. First game I watched after my promise was the 9-0 demolition of Ipswich.
That's not good, is it?
Kind of worked as I stopped once we were 6-0 up. But that doesn't help. Does it?
Yeah. Anyway. Darren in Derby said, I've been struggling to figure out what to buy my 75-year-old dad for Father's Day. I'm going to get him a lordship.
Oh, good.
He says, I'm going to get him land in Derbyshire, possibly a wench. I don't think that's a good idea. Maybe a flagon of mead. Well, that's slightly more appropriate. But Darren, yeah, well, there we are. So people are buying lordships
so
for
get
their
a,
dad.
A lord. You can be the Lord of Durham if you want. You can. We're
Lord Durham of Durham.
Well, we are sort of we're cutting Adrian up into four. There are four lordships going from Adrian. So if you want one of them, $8.99. Do you want to know about Randy Lovechitz, or do we not have enough time for
that? Randy Lovechitz, the golfer.
He missed the cut at the PGA Championship.
We haven't got time.
Oh, fair enough.
We haven't got time. We'll come back to it. What a great tease, though, for next Tuesday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's time for the birthday spread, that point of the show where Andy Jacobs supplies us with 10 birthdays, 10 spectacular gags. We have to try and guess the ages of those two people. It sounds simple.
Simple for one of us.
And there's a margin of error that builds over the 10 birthdays. The one with the lowest, who's got closer to all those birthdays, is the winner. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Max.
Hello,
Andy. Those rumours about Keith Birkinshaw coming back. I suppose.
Yeah, 63.
Yeah, okay. He's a bit older than
85.
That.
He's
a little bit older 85. Than that, Keith. Yeah, the governor. Yeah. So, Jeff Peters is our scorer. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Yeah, I must get that phone.
Always goes off. It's so, yeah. so bad.
They're very patient. Whoever that is very patient. Yeah.
I think today's spread is going to be excellent. Me and Andy have had words already today, so I think it's going to be spiky.
He just says the second game. It's like guess the punchline with Jeff Peters.
I'm trying to help you, Andy, with some of the
internet.
I've learned that. Yes.
Just stay in your lane, Peters.
I love him to bits.
Shall we get underway? Here's Pele. So loser kicks off from last week. So Max,
I think I lost last week.
You
I
did
think
lose
it was
last
me.
Week.
Yes.
Won the week Probably, before, yeah. but you lost last week.
Okay.
So here we go then, Max.
Yeah, so Max, it's a very happy birthday to Paul Weller, the singer-songwriter and former member of The Jam, Paul Weller. And funny enough, I was interviewing Sven-Göran Eriksson about his taste in music, and I asked him who was his favourite singer-songwriter. Weller.
Yeah, that's very good.
Really good. Paul Weller, 68.
Is he that old? I thought he'd be a bit younger than that. 61.
63.
Oh, OK. So what's that done to the scores?
It's all over.
It's early stage. Come on, don't be defeated. Just because you didn't get a direct hit like last week.
It's Paul 2, Max 5.
OK. OK. 5-2. Okay. I'll kick off then. I'm
sorry,
next.
Paul. By the way,
very happy birthday to a friend of the show. We always see him at Cheltenham, Michelle Roux, the great chef Michelle Roux Jr. And Michelle's just had both ACLs removed following a football injury, and it's really odd that not only does he keep them in a jar, but he's named it both ligaments Wayne and Colleen. He loves to show people the Roonies.
Oh wow.
The Roonies. Blimey.
Wow. That is,
come on.
That's very good.
Is it?
Michelle Roux.
It's not.
I mean, it's not.
And he has
terrible,
to go at me.
Humouring him. Just humouring him. I'd say,
humouring him.
What is he? 57, Michelle Roux Jr. What do you think?
He's a bit older than that.
Okay.
Oh, but 61.
61, he is.
Wow.
61.
What's that down to the scores, Jeff?
Oh, it's all turned round. Max has a 1-point lead. It's Max 5, Paul 6.
Okay, right. Here we go, then.
Ooh. Okay, it's the fine actor Cillian Murphy. It is Cillian. I wasn't sure if it's Chilean or Cillian.
It's Cillian, I think. Cillian.
Cillian. Cillian Murphy. Sorry, Cillian, if you're listening, which you won't be. Well, he might be. Cillian Murphy, it's his birthday, and I'm really looking forward to his latest role, where he supplies blackout curtains to a well-known Merseyside football reporter in beaky blinders.
Blimey. Mansfield 1, Northampton 0 in that other player. Sorry, Mansfield 0, Northampton 1. Mansfield 0, Northampton 1. Day getting the
yeah, you get the idea with that. Yeah. It was Northampton. It was Northampton 0, Mansfield 1.
You're, okay. You're the only person that knows.
Cillian Murphy, right? I reckon. It's about 36.
You're 36. Yeah, you're probably not far off. I got a bit older. 38.
45.
Wow, 45. He's doing all right. Yeah, good cheekbones on you, Murphy.
Yeah,
45.
What's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Oh, it's all turned round again. It's flipping and flopping. Paul 7 out, Max 6 out. Sorry, Max 9 out. It's Paul 13, Max 14.
Okay. Oh, it's a good game, isn't it?
Oh, it's close, isn't
okay.
it?
13-14.
Yes. Okay. A very happy birthday to one half of the great duo, Chaz and Dave, Dave Peacock.
Yeah, good old Dave,
Dave, big football fan, Dave, of course, and he's been delighted to see the progress made by women administrators in the game, including his favourite, Rabbits. Sorry.
That's right. That's right. Heather,
The Heather Rabbits joke.
Rabbit, bunny, Rabbit, bunny, what is Dave? Dave, he must be sort of early 70s. 73,
I'll go. That's a really good guess, that. I'll go 75.
76.
Wow. Okay. What a game we've got going here. Ding dong do.
It is, and it's turned round again. The lead keeps changing hands. It's Max 15, Paul 16.
Okay, here we go.
Oh,
then.
It's really
Max
close.
Is next.
And I haven't done a tiebreaker this week, so I'm in trouble if you finish level. Anyway,
it's
here we
unlikely,
go.
Andy, isn't it? Let's face
it'd be nice
it.
To have a draw.
It's true. Very happy birthday to the broadcaster and newscaster from ITV News, Mary Nightingale. Mary Nightingale. And we were at a party at the home of legendary NBA star Charles Barkley. Of course we were. Charles got a boxing ring. Yes, you know what's going to happen. Doubles up as a karaoke stage. Yes, and Nightingale sang in Barclays Square.
Nice one.
Mary Nightingale.
I did have some music lined up for that, but Andy banned it.
It was too many. It's kind of too much.
It's a tricky one, Mary Nightingale.
Mary Nightingale, yeah.
I'd say 52.
I'd go, that's not a bad guess, actually. 54.
58, Mary. She's good.
Oh, she's wearing well.
Yeah. Her and Cillian Murphy. Yeah, absolutely.
The lead has swapped for the fifth time. It's now Paul 20, Max 21.
Wow.
This is
an
incredible
exhibition. People listening now, you are privileged to be listening to this.
Yeah. Well, wait, now we're coming to the names you don't know, so they're a bit more tricky now.
Here we go.
Yes. Okay, it's a happy birthday to the economist and first female prime minister of Turkey from 93 to 96, Tanzu Sila. Tanzu Sila.
Okay.
And my parents arranged a lunch with me and Tanzu, even though I'd never met her. It was great to go on a blind date with Sila.
Thank you.
Unlike the birthday spread, it was a Laura, Laura, Lance.
81.
You say 81?
81.
Tanzu Sila, 93, 96. Yeah, probably around there, isn't it? 78.
75.
Ooh, so with a daylight. What's happening?
I always thought she got the job too young, you know. It's a bit like Lampard and Chelsea.
You know,
Silla's got it too young. Yeah. It's going to not quite work out, and then Erdogan will come in and get it for decades.
Yeah, that could be.
Once again, the lead has changed hands. Right. It's Paul 26, Max 24.
24, okay. Max in the lead by two. Okay.
Very happy birthday to the co-founder of the Ambassador Theatre Group and joint executive and creative director of Trafalgar Studios. Sure, he's got enough jobs. Sir Howard Panter. And it's surprising, actually, but for a man of his achievements, he's surprisingly shy and blushes easily. That's why we call him the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
See the music.
It's too much production now, isn't it?
It's too much.
Dave says, Max, cash out.
Not in this game.
Sir Howard Panter is 84.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know. 81.
He's 72.
Sorry, Howard, if you're listening.
Panther, he's only young. Yeah.
This is ridiculous. The lead has changed hands every single time. It's now Paul 35, Max 36, three to go.
Oh,
this is going to the wire. Here we go. It's a very happy birthday to Dame Alison Nimmo, Chartered Surveyor and Chief Executive of the Crown Estate, 2012-19. Dame Alison Nimmo. And you won't be surprised to know that she went missing a few years ago. And of course, should I bother to do any more?
Come on.
Well, I led the team that eventually discovered where she was. Yes, I was very proud of finding Nimmo.
Okay. Okay. 68.
I think she's a bit older than that.
Oh, okay.
69.
Well, that bit of SH hasn't helped you because she's 57.
Oh.
And what that does to the scores... is make it 46 to Paul and 48 to Max. So the lead changes. Oh, no, it doesn't change. Paul's still in the lead. Paul extends his lead by one.
Well, build it up. Very dramatic, even though it wasn't quite right.
Live on Sky Sport. Talk Sport.
46 plays 48.
You've got to know your horse being Jacobs for that
you
one.
You do. Yes, very much so. Okay, very happy birthday to Baroness May Blood. Baroness May Blood, founding member 1996 of the Northern Ireland Women's Coalition, Baroness May Blood. And she always used to go racing with Bob Dylan when he was in England. Cheltenham, Aintree, Ascot and Epsom. I think Bob named one of his albums after her, Blood on the Tracks.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Yeah. So...
It's not really a joke, that one, was it?
No.
I think you were concentrating.
Critic. Yeah. Be careful, Max. Be careful.
I've seen him turn.
I think.
Oh, Max has been disqualified.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately.
Dame May Blood.
It's topical.
Yeah, Bob, yeah.
Baroness.
83. Okay. 86.
Baroness May Blood, you may have scoffed, but she's 83.
Oh, look at that direct
hit. Second direct hit of the afternoon for Max. And what that does to the scores, with one to go, Paul 49, Max 48. Max in the lead by one.
That means I go first. I don't want to do that.
Because he's in the
lead. No, that's a disaster.
Okay,
it's a very happy birthday to the saxophonist and composer, Archie Shepp. And he was taking part in a debate on modern music when he completely lost it. He was on his feet and shouting. Luckily, former Blue Peter host John Noakes was on hand to take control. Yes, get down, Shep, he said.
Get down, Shep.
This is the closest it's ever been, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, so it's one point in it, Archie Shep.
Wow, this is
Have you heard
huge.
Of Archie Shep?
Have you heard of Archie Shep?
I've heard of Archie Shep.
You've heard of Archie Shep? Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous.
Max's Shep has sailed.
Did you play jazz clarinet? And you said you never did. If you'd taken a bit more interest in jazz,
if I get a direct hit, I would love it. I would love it if I got a direct hit right now.
He's still got to answer Archie Shep.
Max, you know who Archie Shep is. You know when you're doing this show, at 11 minutes past one, he hops on one leg. You know him, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Archie Shep is... 84.
84? That's not... I mean, like, I wouldn't know how old Archie Shepp was. I know who he is.
It's a big part of it, isn't it?
Really. I might go a bit older. I'll go... So, 84... I'll go 88.
Well, you'll be amazed to know that Archie Shepp, the saxophonist and composer, is... 84.
Oh, look at that.
That's...
Yes,
is that,
Max.
Is that a bit smelly?
What do you mean? That's absolute disgrace. I'm 18. I'm 18 three down. That is absolutely disgraceful. You've got to lose. You've got to lose with some sort of graciousness.
One of the stewards has just walked in.
I'm sorry. If I have to, I'll stay in the toilet for hours. I'm dehydrated, but I'll give you a sample.
Wow. Well, no, that is impressive.
Three is the magic number.
Someone's hacked my computer.
Archie Shepp's just come in. That's amazing. He's looked through the window. Like Bill Werbenick. He just looked through the window. 80. How did you do that?
Well, I just guessed his age, Paul, to be brutally honest.
You've never heard of him?
I'd never heard of Archie Shepp. I mean, to be fair, playing the odds, right? I've lost this almost as many times as David De Gea has let penalties in.
But I think you've got more direct hits than
I'm very good at match play and stroke play.
I look forward to later on Instagram when you put a photo of Archie Shepp on with your dad.
Archie Shepp is my dad. He is my dad.
His name's Max Shepp, didn't you really? He changed it for showbiz purposes. Well, you could cut the tension with a spoon, says Crackers. Yeah, you certainly could. So there we are.
The final scores on the doors. Paul 53, Max 48. It's 18-3. Three is the magic number. Oh.
Done. Oh. 18-3.
I can't believe you instantly went down to am I cheating at this. I think my life has got to such a level where I cheat at this guessing game. I mean, I enjoy it.
I've seen how competitive you are. I don't think you cheat, Max. I don't think you cheat. I'd like to believe you wouldn't.
Mark says Max wins and Paul goes all Jose. Hashtag sore loser. Hashtag birthday spreads.
Well, look, I knew what went on there, but I can't tell you. I can't tell you what went on. It's like in the Jose style.
Oh, really?
I know what happened.
Throwing everyone under the bus,
I can't tell you now, and maybe I'll never be able to tell you what.
Phil says, scandalous,
not to speak.
Scandalous accusation by Paul there, says Phil. Yeah. Well done, Max. Who whispered the answer in your ear?
They
not
all
having
see
this,
you,
Phil.
They all see you as an honest man, don't they?
I am an honest man.
You're an honest man, Max.
There we
I can
are.
Tell that.
Yeah. Daft guess for Shep, says Guthers here. If he was 86, you'd have still lost.
I said I went 88, didn't I?
Yeah, you could have just gone 86, couldn't you? Anyway, there's nothing you could have done.
But
that's true.
The production team don't. I'm the only one that knows the actual. And Jeff knows.
Oh, come on,
the
now. We don't need to tell people that I'm not cheating in this game.
Well, they might have thought.
I'm not cheating. If you think I'm cheating,
well, they're so surprised that you actually won. That's why.
Okay. I want blood and urine, if that's all right with
that's
you.
That's absolutely
because
fine.
One or the other. I want both. I want both. And we'll...
Not Baroness May blood and urine.
It's what he says before every show. I say, fair enough. It's what Andy's been doing for years. I'll do the same.
Or just a cup of tea, thanks. Paraphrase the likely lads. Thank you, Andy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Pleasure, yep.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Fine scoring.
Cheers, guys. Well done, Max.
Thank you so much. Well done, Max. 18-3. Congratulations.
Here's David says, I get in, Max can really hear the sour grapes from Paul Loser. But his house is fun at Christmas with the board games.
I was quite taken back with a direct hit. That was all. I just thought, that's amazing.
The thing is, if I'm going to cheat, I would go 1 year out, wouldn't I?
Would you? You think so?
I think if I knew...
So you've obviously given it some thought then.
I haven't given it any thought.
Your best method.
Even to the point when if he'd said John Beck, the Cambridge manager, it was John Beck's birthday this week, I did notice, I'd have definitely confessed.
Even my missus says, well done, Max. I'd Googled Archie Shepp. So she's team Rushton as well
actually,
now. It's great, isn't it? They've all turned on me.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's who's telling me.
I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that mentality. I'm going to feed off of this.
Okay, right.
I'm going to pin
Stick that
Archie
up on the dress-
Shepp to the dressing room wall.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A lot of reaction.
Getting some fallout from the birthday spread. Jenny,
Mark says, Rushton, you're a mug. You don't know your backside from your elbow 95% of the time. You've plucked 84 out of thin air. Pull the other one. Hashtag mugging Paul off. Hashtag birthday spread. Yeah. John says, I can't believe you got accused of cheating. You're 18-3 down. If you're cheating and still losing 18-3, I wouldn't trust you to manage to face a microphone correctly.
Crackers comes back to say, come on, Paul, even blind squirrels occasionally find a nut.
I like that's very harsh. Stuart Paul is like Novak Djokovic. Two sets up, loses a point, knocks out the umpire with a tennis ball. Sore yeah. loser.
That's
Paul,
right.
Paul is one step away from paraphrasing Rafa Benitez's famous fact speech here. Yeah. Terrible sore loser.
No, I'm just all I'm
have
saying
have you ever
is,
driven a castle to test your eyesight, says Dean. Vindictive by Paul.
I just think back to, I mean, three direct hits yeah. this week, which is incredibly impressive. Certainly yeah. one in the pressure situation.
Absolutely. Was a pressure
back,
cooker.
I think back to other I mean, it's almost too good to be true. And I think back to other people. And I suddenly Lance Armstrong comes to mind.
It just
sometimes when something is too good to be true, you know, sometimes there's often a reason. There's often a reason for. I mean, will you do the Oprah interview?
The thing is, for every time I'm doing this show, I've got my blood is I've got EPO just into yeah. my calf. You know, I never get up from this seat for 3 hours.
That's right.
You see that
one
tube
day
just
he'll do the
there.
Oprah interview, and Oprah will say to him before we start this interview, it'll be like two parts. Archie Shepp, did you? And then in the end, you'll have to say. Yes, I did. Yes,
John,
after years of denial.
John says, I listened to Max for years on TalkSport. Never heard him by any fellow guest presenters. Paul now has a new football top. Get no presents to anyone. Paul has a new football top and a lordship. Corruption at the highest level of
exactly.
the birthday spread.
So you can see, people can see what's
Port
happening
seven,
here.
Paul going all Bruno Fernandes, surrounding the officials at the result when he is the master of Westhousery. Yeah. A victory for the people. Comeback is on, says Dan. Up the Rushton, says George.
Up the Rushton.
Yeah,
well, there we are. We'll do it all again next week.
This one says, Solid. Sorry, Max, I can't follow cheats. That's from James.
See, well, people aren't sure. Well, look, I want to believe you, Max, and I do believe you. As things stand, I give you the benefit of the doubt.
I got more than the benefit of the doubt, for goodness sake.
Anyway,
Archie Shepp is 84. Remember
is.
It.
Archie Shepp
remember
is
the
indeed.
Name, it's Archie
go,
Shepp.
Go and listen to some tonight.
I will.
You remember the name, Archie Shepp. What's that? Yeah, well, you, Clive Tildesley.
Yes.
Anyway, we better go. Andros Townsend is alongside Adrian Darren very shortly with Drive. You are back on Tuesday with me, but no, you're not.
No, Monday. Saturday, Charlie. Sunday, Barry. Monday, Charlie.
So next Wednesday, we reconvene.
That's people, bud.
Yeah.
By the way, it's not what I get up to.
We move on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So there we are. That was this afternoon's show. And I think three direct hits for you.
I don't know what you're suggesting.
Week. No, I just think, I'm just wondering what the
Your instant reaction said a lot about you there, Paul.
Well, I'm playing to the gallery, obviously. The odds.
That's what he says now. That's what he says now. But right after the defeat, he couldn't help but go, there's something going wrong here.
Just, you know, Wednesday, it's a bit like, I'm not suggesting it's got the same. All I'm saying, no, maybe I'll save this for the air when we come back.
Right.
But yeah, we'll do the birthday spread again.
We will.
We'll
of
do
course,
the birthday yeah. spread again.
Yeah, I'm on a roll.
Next week. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. Max, you're back on Saturday.
Correct.
Yep, Max is back on Saturday with Charlie and Barry on Sunday. Andy with me tomorrow. If you can listen from one, great. Clips of the week and all that. If not, podcast available at around 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.